Isaiah 27. Peggy and I were talking in the car about how deceitful the human heart can be. How deceitful, how tricky, how treacherous, how twisted, how perverted. The human heart. Now, not ours, because we have a new heart. But the regular people. How many know we have a pure heart? Because by faith, we put all our trust in Jesus, who's not crooked, who is not perverted. And he gave us new hope. He gave us hope because we were perverted. And there was no way. I tell you, you can never clean up. You can never clean up. Even now, it still comes. It doesn't come from the heart, but it does come from the soul. The soul is kind of a habitually remembers the way the heart used to be. You might mix up your soul and your heart. You might mix up your soul and your spirit. You might get messed up on that. Because every once in a while you have a thought, but that's just the old man. But it doesn't come from the heart. It doesn't have any foundation anymore. Now you have a pure heart, but you don't always have pure thoughts. Sometimes, but not always. Has anybody experienced that? Every once in a while you have, you know, your old heart says, I'm still there, but it's not. How do we defeat it? Oh, it's easy. You just read the Bible. You just read the book. It says, you know, no longer. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me because he loves me. So I just go by that word. I go by that promise. I don't go by what I feel, what I think, what I desire, what I imagine. I don't go by that. So I'm no longer a natural person anymore, even though I think like they think, feel like they feel, sometimes act like they act, but I know that's not me. How many know you're a new creation? The old has passed away, the new has come. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Perfect. Perfect. It's perfect. So therefore, don't go by what you feel, because you'll never feel perfect. You have a feeling, and then the next minute you have another feeling about that feeling, and the next minute you have another feeling about that feeling about that feeling. You can never catch up with your feelings. How many know that's unstable? It's like sand, walking on sand. You can't put your foot on a rock. But we have a rock, the Scripture, the Lord Jesus. He's the living Word. So everybody figure that out. Have you figured out how to live in a way that you never go off? You never go off to the left or the right. Even when you go off, you don't go off. Because even when you go off, you realize, oh, it's just my old man. I forgot I was a new creation. Has anybody ever done that? Sometime during the day, you suddenly forget. And you go back to right what you used to do and think and say. But it doesn't come from your heart. That's how you can get right back. Your heart can keep you on the straight and narrow. Now, I want to teach you something today. What's that? No, it is like a fish. You were right, but you're wrong. Now watch carefully.
Current swimming?
No. You're right, but you're wrong. What is it? It's a serpent. It's a serpent. Watch him. He doesn't go in a straight line. He doesn't go in a straight line. He twists and turns. He's supple. His body is subtle. Supple. It twists so easily. That's your old man. That's the way you used to be. You can use your theology and your morality and trickery and treachery and try to get through life by snaking back and forth, slithering. You see how the snake goes? He doesn't go straight. The snake could go straight, but he doesn't. He goes crooked like this. Isn't that interesting? Now, why do I bring that up? Because that's the 27th chapter of Isaiah. It's right here. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it right now. And I want you to... remember in the Garden of Eden? There was a serpent there, a dragon, a monster, or something or other. Satan. That's what we call him. He's still around. He's still around after all these years. It's an ancient snake. Called the devil, Satan, you know, whatever. Lucifer, whatever. Got a lot of names. Because he's subtle. He's supple. You remember in the tree that Eve came up to that tree, which you weren't supposed to eat out of, or even, you know, be tempted by it. But she was curious, and all of a sudden, there was a snake right there. It's just like, hi, sweetheart. What you thinking? You know, well, you know, we're not supposed to eat of this thing here. But he was so smart. Listen how he did it. He didn't say, there is no God. He didn't say, God's a liar. He didn't say it like that. He said it like this. Did God say? See, he pretended like he really submitted to God, and they were just asking a question. How clever. Did you know that questions are just questions, not statements? Did God say you can't eat of any of the trees of the garden? He knew he was lying. Did you know he was a liar from the beginning? Did God say you can't eat of any of the trees? She thought to herself, I can handle this dude. I can handle this one. No! For God's sakes, where'd you get that? So she thought she could handle Satan's little innocent sounding question. Did God say you can't eat of any of the trees? No. He never said that. He said we can eat of all the trees. And then she thought, except this one right here. This one that's right here that you're in. And isn't that interesting how Satan then, just by a question, he didn't make a statement. He didn't say God stinks or God's no good or I'm your pal. He didn't say any of that. He just simply said, hey, did God, I just want to ask a question. Did God, the one that you say you love, did God say you can't eat of any of the trees? No, we can eat of all the trees. Well, not quite. Not this one. How many know that God only had one tree they couldn't eat out of? And just one. He didn't say anything about that. He said you can eat of all the trees except this one. So he signaled this one out. So Satan is a serpent. He's tricky, but at that point he wasn't. He still wasn't crawling on his belly at that point. He wasn't slithering on the ground where anybody could step on him. So Satan, subtle, able to move about, he was supple in his mind long before he was supple in his body. You see, he was cursed. That was a curse that God checked Adam and Eve out. Adam, did you sin? Did you go off like this serpent is telling you to do? Kind of, but not really. No. What a clever answer. The woman thou gavest me. It's not me. Yes, I ate the thing, but I was second. She actually deceived me. She seduced me. I mean, she tricked me. I mean, God, I just want to say something. Yes, I did wrong. Okay, I did wrong. But I think the woman did that. And you gave her to me. I'm not accusing you or anything. I'm just accusing you. And so Satan was able to start all of that by his little subtle inside snake movement. Where he wasn't really on the straight and narrow, was a little bit off to the left, a little bit off to the right, a little bit off to the left, a little bit off. He just back and forth. Did you know that's how subtle people are? Even to this day, politicians for sure. Used car salesmen. There's an awful lot of people, sometimes Christians. You ever notice that about Christians? They can be kind of supple, subtle, deceitful, tricky, treacherous, perverse, wicked, nasty. Crooked. Isn't that amazing? Not pastors, of course. Thank God. Thank God for pastors that are true, straight. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not referring to myself. I'm just saying a pastor. They should be true. Amen? Because otherwise, you'll be led astray. Did you know that many pastors are supple, subtle, clever, perverse, crooked? They preach one thing from the sermon, and then the next minute they're running off with the organist, or they're out taking a smoke on the back porch or something. They're hypocrites. They're liars. Did you know that many ministers are more interested in their ego than they are in Jesus? They don't have a billboard in along the Dallas highway that says Jesus. They have one that says Pastor Bob or something or other. Because it's their church. They don't say Jesus' church. Do you all know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Oh, they're subtle. Or maybe they're greedy. And maybe they don't put up billboards, but they're greedy. And they want stuff, things, same thing the world wants. Or maybe they're lustful. And, you know, they fall in love with some of the women of the church. That happens. Does anybody notice that?
Yep.
It happens right here in Dallas. Did you know that I actually know some like that? That's amazing. I've never done it. I'm innocent and pure, straight. Do you all see that? I'm telling the truth. I have not done it. I'm not into that. I got other things, but not those. Now, why is this serpent so tricky, so treacherous, so deceitful, so crooked, so subtle, so twisting, so able to deceive all of humanity? And someday we'll look at him and say, is this the man? Is this the guy? Is this the guy that tricked us all? He's only 3 inches tall. You know, we're going to kind of look at him. That's the devil right there. Yeah, he had a megaphone. You know, and he made him sound bigger than he really is. Did you know that God said, let there be. God said, let there be. God said, let there be. You remember that in the beginning? Let there be light. Let there be, you know, land and all that stuff. And then it said, and the serpent said, chapter 3. After God had said all this stuff, God put his word out first. Then the devil came along and twisted it just a little bit. And the serpent said, did God say? That's how, because I have many degrees, that's how professors operate. They ask questions as though they were statements. In other words, they turn something that is just merely a question and make it sound as though it were an answer. But question's only a question. How do you know there is a God? And you know most students will throw away their religion just with that? They'll just go, yeah, I never thought about that. And they'll take away just by a question. What if there are contradictions in the Bible? And all of a sudden people shake and quiver. That's amazing how supple, how subtle, how devious, how deceitful, how twisting, how wretched men can do. Just playing around with it. Hey, let's just entertain this possibility. Let's just entertain a possibility. I didn't make a statement, I just entertained a possibility. How do you know? Well, I don't know, I read it in a book. Pretty soon they got you thinking. How many know that thinking can lead you astray?
Yeah.
You know, people are good at asking questions, but they have no statements. Did God say? So I love this. I love the devil. He's very clever. Very, very clever. Even in the church. Most especially. If I were the devil, I would work on the church first. It's easy to get the world. I served him for years. I remember it. I remember it going back and forth, this way and that. And I did it deliberately, consciously, knowingly. I wasn't one of those persons that said, did I say that? I didn't have that kind of suppleness. When I lied, I just lied. I deliberately, knowingly, consciously lied. Did you, for example, if the plate would come around, I might take from it rather than give to it. And so if Peggy was with me, this was at seminary when I was in training to be a minister. If someone had said to me, did you take something or did you put something in? Because I would click it with the bottom of my thumb and then take something out. Anyway, I have my reasons, but it doesn't matter. It was wrong. But I knew I did wrong. It wasn't like, you know, I was thinking I didn't really do wrong. I know exactly what I do. I know exactly why I did it, when I did it, how I did it. I thought it out. I practiced it. You all see that? So I didn't have any suppleness, subtleness. I was just a sinner. I never went on the straight and narrow. I always went off to the left or the right. If there was a way to cheat on a test, I'd cheat. If there was a way to con artist somebody, I was the con artist. If there was a way to lie, I lied. I loved it. Even to this day, it just comes to me quite naturally. It does.
Amen.
It does. And I have to be really close to the Lord. Get up early, because otherwise I'm just I'd be too big or too small. I'd be too something. You see that? I'd either go off this way or off this way. I'd either be depressed out of my skull or I'd be proud as can be. Or I might do both at the same time. I mean, you know how clever we are. All right, now, listen to the scripture. Listen carefully. In that day, the Lord, this is chapter 27, Isaiah, with his sore and great and strong sword, the Lord, it's Yahweh in the Hebrew, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Goliath. In other words, he's got a sword, and the snake is fleeing. He's going before the Lord with a sword, and he's going to slay him. He's going to kill him. And so the devil obviously doesn't want to get caught. Just like you, when you sin, you don't want to get caught. Now, with me, I was always amazed that I didn't get caught. I was getting away with murder all the time. I cheated. I don't even know if I ever took a test where I didn't cheat. I just cheated all the time. I had 100 ways to do it. I was very good at it. Never got caught. Never. That was amazing. I stole things. Nobody ever caught me. Well, one time. I got caught one time, but I was in a church school, and they forgave me. And all I had to do was cry. Yeah. I'm sorry. You know, and I just did that, and I was a play actor. Totally, I wasn't crying. I just did that, and the guy, you know, being a, you know, Christian kind of person, had to forgive you. And then he even let me keep my job where I'd done all the stealing. It was amazing. So I was apparently a very good crier, a good fake, a good liar. But that was just outward. I knew on the inside. There was nothing subtle on the inside. I knew exactly what I'm doing because I'm trying to get away with it because I don't want to be punished. So I flee from someone catching me. Most of the stuff you do at night so no one sees you. Or you think it inside and you don't let it outside. You don't tell people what you're doing. That means you have to be a loner. I didn't share anything that I did with anybody. Nobody ever knew, because do I not look innocent? I do. I just have an innocent look. Cute, you know, just nice, friendly looking, smiling all the time, joking a lot. You couldn't catch me. Because I was going to outthink you, but you didn't know it. You didn't know how devious, how cold, how nasty I was. But I did. And I even got married, you know. Fooled Peggy, though I told her many times, I'm not a good person. I'm not nice, you know. She had plenty of evidence. We went together for 5 years, right?
I don't think you ever told me.
Oh, okay. Well,
but I did have
well, I certainly gave lots of evidence anyway. It doesn't matter. My point is this. I wasn't a big hider. I wouldn't hide. If somebody just asked me point blank, did you lie? Yes. I mean, I wasn't a big hider. It's just if you were a policeman, I'd go, no. That's all. If you were the one that could discipline me, no, I did not. Because I could lie. You could give me a lie detector test. I had no quivers in me or no scare in me. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't even afraid of the punishment. It's just I didn't want to be. A waste of time. So I'm cold. I'm sure I'm more cold than criminals. Criminals... I've told you this before, but there was a guy in my Fort Worth church, and this family's still there, and he killed 13 people. He was a hitman. And he just, you know, was hired, paid $50,000, go out to California, shoot this guy, stab him, you know, do whatever, but kill him. And then he said to me one time, he said, I still, you know, if a door slams, I'm immediately, you know, go for my gun or want to do something. Does that make sense? So I said, oh, that's easy to solve. You got guilt. You feel guilty about what you've done. He said, well, I never killed anybody that didn't deserve it. I said, that's the difference between you and me. I don't need to have a justification for what I do. I just do it. I don't need to justify it with my mind. I did it because. I don't have any becauses. I just did it. I wanted to, so I did it. Because I wanted to. Not because it was right, not because it was wrong, not because the guy deserved it. I didn't play that game. So I didn't have the subtlety like that because I always knew in my heart it was wicked and I always knew in my body it was wicked and my soul was wicked and everything was wicked and I was just wicked. Mm-hmm. Now, is there anybody here even close to where I am? even close. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so that's good. I mean, you don't have to be, because most people are not. They're liars. They lie not to somebody else, they lie to themselves. They lie to themselves and imagine to themselves that because they didn't do it outwardly, they're good. I knew when I didn't do it outwardly, I was just waiting for the opportunity to do it outwardly. Just when you weren't looking or whatever, that's when I would do it. I'd do whatever I wanted to do, but sometimes I had to wait because people can catch you. And they can get you. And here's God, it says, the Lord came with a big sword. He said it was great and powerful. Fierce. That's the Hebrew. It's a fierce sword, fiery sword. Remember that flaming sword in the Garden of Eden? Keep out, Adam and Eve. Anyway, he had that, and the snake is fleeing. And of course, the Lord can take just one step and beat him, chop his head right off. But the Lord has left him around, even to this day. Did you know that the serpent is still around? Even can come into a church. I don't know if he comes to small churches like this or not, but he might. He might. So it said, what did the serpent do? And here's how he describes the serpent. This is the Lord talking. In that day, the Lord with his sore, or it actually says fierce and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan. Now, in the Hebrew language, that word, Leviathan, and by the way, nobody knows who Leviathan is. They say a lot of silly things. I think I know who he is. It's Satan. And here's why. The word Levi or Levi, remember the third son of Leah in the Bible? What does it mean? This word Levi, because Leviathan, it starts with L-E-V-I. And then Athan is another word. Okay? So this Leviathan is an interesting name, and I've read all kinds of books to try to find out, what was that? Who is that guy? And they say he's an animal, maybe a sea monster, and all kinds of things. And they get a lot of this scripture right here. But it's obvious to me it's Satan. So Levi or Levi means joined, connected. So, in Hebrew, the connection is that someone is joined to someone, or something is joined to something, or connected, or intimately related. So, Satan is a connector to mankind. Okay? And Athan, the last part of it, Leviathan. So, the connected, and then Athan means twisted. He is connected to that which is twisted. Now, so far, it doesn't say much, but that's a powerful name. The one who's twisted is connected to you and me, causing us to go astray, causing us to go off the straight and narrow. The straight and narrow is go right down the highway, don't go a little bit off into the ditch, or a little bit off into the ditch this side, because you'll perish. You get in an accident. Something bad will happen. So it's very hard, though, for people that are sinful not to go off to the left or right like me. I'm just using myself as an illustration. I'm not that person anymore. I'm a nice person now, Christian, pastor. But I'm just telling you how I was. So I have no illusions about man's goodness. I have no illusions about moral people. Moral people are just wicked people with a mask. Their heart is deceitful. It's wicked, it's evil, just the same as everybody else's heart. But they cover it on the outside by behaving. And little kids, I don't know if you've ever studied little kids or looked at them, they're very quickly devious. Did you eat that cookie? No. A little kid will do that. And they're just one or two. No. Because they know you're going to spank them if you say yes. They're not trying to lie, they just don't want to get spanked. They don't care about lying. They just don't want to be spanked. No. I love it. And little kids, they aren't that good at it, you see. Because they just, you're not lying to me, are you? And a little kid will go, no. And then they'll shake and stuff. Because you can scare them. Now, we're the same. It's just that we don't have all those little kid problems anymore. We just lie easily. We're subtle. We're not as simple as little children. Did you know little children are pretty much guileless? You know, if you lie to me, I'm going to, well, I'll tell you what will happen. You know, and parents do that all the time to try to get kids not to lie. But threaten as you may, that little child will just wait till you're not looking, grab that cookie, and nibble on it. They won't just eat it because that's wrong, but they'd nibble on it till it's all gone. Because we're all subtle. We don't just go and smoke a pack of cigarettes. We just take one puff. That's how you start. That's how people who are tempters get people in. They don't ever say, here, commit adultery or go kill somebody or go smoke. And they don't start like that. They start out with small things till you compromise and compromise and compromise, and then they get something on you. That's how fraternities are made, sororities. And they can hold you for life in bondage. So you don't want to be in those kind of relationships. But you start out subtle, like Satan. Did God say? Sounds innocent. Sounds innocent. But this guy joins himself to mankind. Now, I'll prove it out of this scripture in a second. In that day, this is the last day, by the way, the day in which we live now. In that day, the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Now, actually, it says the twisting. I just told you, Athan, the twisting serpent. Or then it'll say the crooked serpent. And that means this guy goes off to the left and to the right and to the left and to the right so that you can't follow him easily. But that slows you down. I'll just tell you, it'd be easier if you could just go straight. Going back and forth like this, it takes a little more time. So, but he has poison in him, and if you catch him, he'll turn on you. He'll turn back on you because he's scared. And he knows the Lord is coming after him with a big sword, and that guy is fleeing. And he's trying to go as fast as he can, and they can move fast. Especially over sand and over water. I mean, they're amazing how quickly they can move. In that day, the Lord with his, I told you it says fierce in the Hebrew, and great, and strong, those are all different words, sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. In other words, he goes off to the left or to the right. Now, by describing him this way, God is now going to further define him, which will show why he's joined to mankind and not just joined to the dirt or something else. Remember, on your belly you shall go and dust you shall eat. Now, that sounds like a land serpent, right? If you're going to eat dust, you're not in the water. But here, they're going to say water. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Now, that word is just one word in the Hebrew. Bayam. Bayam. Just one word. Bayam. Ba is in. And yam, it means sea. Y-A-M. Bayam. But it also has the word in it, am. Am is the word for people. And if you read the Bible, you'll see that when God describes the peoples of the world, he often calls them, the sea, a sea of peoples. And the reason that they do that is because one is Yam and the other is Bayam. I mean, it's very, very interesting. In the sea is the same as in the midst of the people. So, this Leviathan, this crooked, twisting serpent, this subtle lying. Remember, Satan is a liar from the beginning, Jesus said. He has lied from the beginning. He has twisted from the beginning. He has pierced from the beginning. He has perverted everything from the beginning. He makes the crooked. You're straight, he'll make you crooked. And that's what he does to little kids. And little kids understand this right off. You don't need to teach a little kid about Satan. He understands right away if there's a God, there's a bad guy too. Because he knows he's got two voices. One saying, don't do that. The other one saying, do it. Does anybody notice that? I mean, that's just little kid thinking. Well, the devil told me to do it. Didn't you know I told you not to do that? Didn't I say not to hit your sister?
Yeah.
And why'd you do it? I don't know. Satan? So the kids will say that. The kids have heard that, and they know right away how to use that thing. I didn't do it. I didn't eat the apple. I didn't sow the fig leaves. Satan made me do it. Remember Eve? Remember when God asked her, now, Eve, did you tempt your husband like that? Get him to sin? Well, not really. I mean, yes, but not really. See how subtle she is? Rather than say, yes, I did. I seduced him, and he was stupid enough to buy it, and that's his own fault. It would have been great if she had said that, but she didn't say that. Now, Adam had already used the trick of the woman thou gavest me, and she didn't have a similar one. So she just said, the serpent! There's three of us here. The serpent, he beguiled me. You see how the serpent had joined himself to mankind. He had glommed onto them. He had made himself intimate with them. He had gotten into their inner being. You know the devil can't make you do evil? How many know the devil can't make you? You just do it yourself. But he's playing on your weakness, your desire, and that's why he asked the question. Are you really happy? Is God really good? I mean, after all, you can't even eat of all the trees. Oh, yeah, you can eat of all the trees, but this one, why can't you eat of that one? What kind of a God is he? It isn't long. She thought all of that out. She quickly calculated that. How many know how clever people are? How quick people can calculate 15, 20, 30, 40 things. I got it. I can handle this dude to, good question, to, I'll eat. It wasn't long before it said, and she, it doesn't say the devil, it said she realized that if eating of that apple, that fruit, would make her wise like God. Because the devil told her that. But he didn't make her do it, he just told it to her. Oh, no, no, sweetheart, you won't die. Did God tell you that? Liar. But he didn't say all that. He just simply said, you won't die. But God knows. He's not on your side, by the way. God knows that when you eat of it, you'll be like God. That's what he doesn't want. He doesn't want you to be like God. Complete lie. That's the one thing God wants you to be like, is God. But he wants to do it voluntarily. And since your natural heart won't do it voluntarily. Did you know that the natural heart won't do it voluntarily? It won't. Nobody ever, 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 ever in the history of the world with their natural heart voluntarily love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. Nobody ever did it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the devil was able to pervert the whole of humanity. And this one is saying that in that day, the last day, which is our day, it's right now, it's around the corner, he's going to take a sword and slay that serpent. That's powerful. I don't know if you see how big this is. This is huge. This was done 700 years before Jesus, which is 2,000 years ago, which is a long time. So, wow, that's a long time. And here this guy comes out and says what was said in the beginning 6,000 years ago. I'll slay that serpent. And there'll be enmity between the woman's seed and her seed. Now, God, he wasn't talking about you and me. He wasn't talking about us because we actually are joined to the guy. He was talking about Jesus. Jesus was the seed. There'll be enmity between Jesus and this serpent. There'll be enmity. Guess who's going to win? The devil, of course. The devil killed Jesus. But then, Jesus, who happens to be the Son of God, he rose up from the dead and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That's when he pulls out his sword and the devil runs. Now, he's given 3 days. That is, 2 days have happened. So on the third day, he's had it. Now, he's finished. How many know the devil's already been conquered by Jesus 2,000 years ago? Amen. Long time ago. And we know it. Submit yourself under the mighty hand of God and what? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Did you know the devil's afraid of you? A snake, even a rattlesnake, is afraid of you. When you come there and you step, he's scared and he's just trying to defend himself. He thinks you're going to do something, step on him. And so he will strike at you to protect himself. He's not coming after you. He doesn't see, hey, there's a guy over there. I'm going to go and get him. He feels you're coming right to his lair, his den. Maybe his babies, you know, whatever. You're trying to get him, and he's scared to death. That's why he's rattling. Whoa! I'm scared. Has anybody ever heard that rattle on the inside of you? This is like, yeah. Whoa. When I was a little kid, I used to look over at the doorknob on my closet door, and I knew it was an eye. I was scared to death. But not only that, underneath my bed, there was something down there, too, and I wouldn't even put my hand over the bed. Whoa, because I knew there was something. I'd sometimes cry out, ah! You know, my parents come in, what? Turn on the light. When you turn the light off, he'll come back. He's not. There's nothing under your bed. There was. There is. And it'll bite me. And as soon as they leave and turn the light out again, I'm got my hand like this. I'm scared. Because if my leg drops over, my hand or something, I'm scared. I'll pee the bed rather than to get up. Because that thing will bite me. Do you know that little kids will do that? All the way to 10 years old, 11, 12. I'm telling you, fear stays with you. And there's not a little kid in the world that isn't afraid. They all have those kind of fears. They don't know where they come from. It's this subtle one, this crooked one, this perverse one. Now watch what it says. In that day, sing you unto her. This is God. A vineyard of red wine. So God has a vineyard of red wine. In other words, he's going to spill blood. So this is his garden, and he's got it prepared that he's going to use. He's even going to use the devil. He's even going to use the devil. Did you know that God can use the devil? Isn't that interesting? It's not just the devil. It's God's devil. God owns that devil. Anytime he wants to, he can slay the thing. Or he doesn't even need a sword. He's talking about the sword of his mouth. He'll just say, be gone. It's the end of that guy. God just speaks, and worlds come into being. And he can speak, and they're gone. If he wasn't speaking, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God continually. Present, active, indicative. We are continually listening to God's word. That's why I read the word a lot. I have to. Otherwise, I drop back to my old ways. Does anybody have a past that's a little bit embarrassing? I mean, got a few embarrassments to it. Well, I have all embarrassment. Everything was embarrassing. Everything was wrong. Compared to where I am today, everything I used to think and say and do was evil. Because I wasn't following God. I never even went to church until I was 11. 11, that's the first time I ever went to a church. 11. I didn't even know what the place was. I had no religion. I had no morals. I had three fathers, and none of them stuck around. So I didn't have any upbringing at all. The only thing I remember was don't go outside without a raincoat or something when it's raining. You know, I mean, I didn't have any real morals. I could do anything I want, say anything I want. My mother worked, so she was gone. You know, everybody, my aunt worked, you know, and they slept around, and my grandmother was crazy. And we had all these families living in a little two-car garage, and that was it. And so it's just hell. But I thought it was great. I mean, I didn't know any better. Because when you're a little kid, you don't know that you have to have plumbing. You don't know that an outhouse is a bad thing. The only thing I didn't want to go out there because they had rats out there. I could see them. I could look out my window. They were this big because I was a little kid. To a little kid, that big. But I could see them running out there, and I went, ain't going in there, especially at night. Especially at night. I was scared. So I'd just go outside the door and pee in the snow or something. I didn't want to go way out there. It's too scary. And there were spiders in the summertime that would bite your bottom. I was scared of that, too. I didn't even want to sit. I wanted to kind of hold myself up from that. And besides, it stunk. You ever been to an outhouse? They're not good. And we change them every 3 or 4 years, but that's a long time. Because they kind of build up. You dig about 6 foot down. I remember the whole business. It's amazing. But you just live in terror when you're a little kid. At least I did. In that day, sing you unto her, a vineyard of red wine, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, in other words, he never forgets, lest any hurt it. In other words, no one's going to destroy it or damage it. I will keep it day and night. In other words, I have a vineyard of red blood. I have a vineyard that I'm saving up. That's called the day of wrath. Let me know that you and I will never face the day of wrath. You'll be raptured out. You'll be gone. So you're never going to face that. It's not for children. Anyone, and that's why we're witnessing to people right now, because we don't want anyone to face that. And God doesn't want anyone to face it. He just doesn't force people. They have to choose. No one can choose for you. No one. Not your husband, not your father, mother. Nobody can choose for you who you are. I chose for myself who I was. I'll be a thief, a robber, a liar, a con artist. I'll do that. I'll cheat. I chose that. And I felt that was the best way to get through life, because I just wanted to survive. So everything I did, we were poor as poor can be. A lot poorer than you know people today. I mean, dirt poor. Eat off the ground, literally. And you know, that kind of, I didn't know any better. And my neighbors were in the same boat. We were all, this was World War II, rationing, all that stuff. You didn't have sugar, you didn't have butter, you didn't have all that kind of stuff. You just had to eat off the ground. You had, everybody had a victory garden, World War II. Everybody had a victory garden. We had one, big, it was big. Let's say I would say from maybe about here all the way, all of that. Well, anyway, maybe it wasn't that big, but it seemed that big to me as a little kid. And you could just go out there and eat the stuff that was in there. And we also had, I think, 15 kinds of fruit. We had apple trees and pear trees and peach trees and cherry trees. And we had all kinds of fruit, grapes, plums. We had everything. And you could just go and eat it. And you can even eat your neighbors, too, when they're not looking. And I did. I get sick, too. Just eat them all. All right. Now this says, fury, verse 4, is not in me, who would set the briars and the thorns against me in battle. Who's going to take me on, God's saying? I'll go through them. I'll burn them together. In other words, I, the Lord, I'm not worried about it. Or, here's another idea. Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. In other words, I'll never lose. The devil has no chance. Nobody has a chance. The Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, whoever comes against me, I can destroy them in a minute. The second. I'll just breathe on them. They're gone. So God is not worried about winning. The only question is, he doesn't want to judge the world right now because he doesn't want to judge the people. So how did I get out? I read this book. I heard it. Rejected it. And then one day I accepted it. And that turned me upside down from where I was. Once I heard the truth, it set me free forever. And I fell in love with my mother. I fell in love with my wife. I fell in love with everything. I even loved my enemies. I didn't care anymore. I was the enemy before. But now I just realized, hey, I don't need to defeat all these people. That's God's business. And I loved it, Margaret. I just thought, this is great. Suddenly I felt at peace. Have you ever felt at peace, total peace, that God is for you? If God be for you, nobody can be against you. Amen. I mean, when God is on your side, whew, you know, I used to have to figure out how not to get beat up every day when I left school. And now, as a Christian, I was 30-something, but as a Christian, I realized, I don't need to do that anymore. I need to protect myself. Don't need to think things out. I don't need to worry. If the devil could take me, he would have. Obviously, not bright enough to figure out how. I think God's keeping me. Anything committed to God, he keeps. If you keep it, he can't. If you got something that you call your own, you own it, it's yours, he won't protect it. Because it's not his. You have to give it back. So I give my wife, my children, I give everything back to him. God, I don't have a church, I don't have anything, it's yours. I'm just the steward. I'm just stewarding it. That's why I can't lie to you. I know how to lie. I'm gifted at it. And I can see your lies all over the place. I'm just telling you. They're just neat. Because I used to do every one of them. And more. I love liars. I just think, so clever. I thought, hey, I should have thought of that one. That was good. But once you become a Christian, that's no longer anything. It doesn't mean anything. Now you can tell the truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Why? Not afraid anymore. If God be for me, who can be against me? That is a powerful way to live, where you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I can literally say I'm happy all the time. Literally. I'm not just making it up, saying it by faith or something. Really, I'm always happy. Why? I'm not afraid. If you can live in this world and not be afraid, that's a miracle. That's impossible because people have fears and they have doubts and they have worries. I don't. I'm sorry. Somebody said, well, don't you have them sometimes? Well, I probably do, but they only last 3 seconds or something. Because I quickly run to the Word. Did you know that if you hide God's Word in your heart, sin will be gone? Did you know that? I mean, I have tons of Word in my heart, therefore sin doesn't come up. I don't see my wife as my wife. I see her as God's gift to me. Why? This is what the Bible said. I don't see enemies. I just see opportunities. I used to see enemies. Like, hey, that guy's going to get me if I don't get him first. Dog eat dog. He'll get me. And that was the crooked way that Satan taught me. But I learned a better way. The Jesus way. Straight. Narrow. Never crooked. You don't have to waste time anymore. What a waste of time all that was. And he shall cause them, verse 6, the ones that make peace with him. If you're a sinner, that's all right. You can still make peace with him. He shall cause them that come forth out of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Now, Israel is a nation today. The people of Israel are not us. Most of us are not Jewish. But Israel will blossom. Not today. Not now. They will take bud. He's talking spiritually. Today they're in deep trouble. Today they don't know what to do because there are a whole bunch of people, like a billion, that hate them. And maybe more. There's a lot of people. Europe no longer likes them either. So that's a huge number too. And so there's a lot of people that aren't friendly to them. And even in America, America used to be all pro-Israel and so on. Now it's not. Some are, some aren't. And things are not getting good for them. The whole United Nations is pretty much now against Israel. They don't have any pals anymore. Don't you think that's funny? I mean, we're not Jewish, so it's okay. No. God says, you got to pray for them. If you don't bless them, you'll be cursed. Those who bless the children of Abraham. And did you know that the Muslims also are beloved of God? Not their religion, but them as people. God's not mad at any people. Homosexuals, witchcraft people, and so on. He loves them. He's not ticked off at them. He's not mad at them. I'll hate that person because he did this or did that. No, no, he's looking at the heart. Even if your heart is as dark can be, and as subtle and as crafty and as perverted as it can be, still loves you. He just wanted to give you a new heart. And that's what we preach, so that people get a new heart. If you can be as wicked as me, you can still be a believer. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. He only comes to wicked people. Think not that I've come for the righteous. I've only come for sinners. That was me. And I didn't buy it for a long time. I'm not buying that. I don't believe in that nonsense. I don't think you're supposed to be kind to other people. And so I think steal from them, take from them. Watch out, they'll knife you in the back. How many know Christians will knife you in the back as quick as anybody else? And they'll whisper as soon as you walk out of the room. Did you know what Alice is doing? You know, whatever. Do you know that? I'm talking about Christians. I mean, not nobody here. I'm talking about bad Christians, of course. Did you know that Christians actually are sometimes wicked? I mean, they're nasty. I remember one day walking into one of my churches, and I was standing in the door before going in, and I heard the Bible study ladies laughing. And I thought, that, you know, must be something funny in the Bible. And what they were doing was telling dirty jokes to each other. And then I heard it, and I was kind of shocked. I was like, whoa, these are my best ladies having a Bible study, and here they are, you know, carrying on. From that day, I didn't believe in ladies' Bible studies. It's like, What they're doing is gossiping. And Lord, you know, Alice's husband is a scoundrel. But, you know, they're just gossiping. And after what he's just done, you know, forgive him for it. You know, I tell you, that's funny. That's funny. And so you realize, you know what? Not everything that goes by the name of Jesus is Jesus. Some of it's just flesh. Satan. Subtle. Now, This is what it says right here. He shall cause, six, them that come out of Jacob to take root. Israel, so in other words, they're going to have a good day someday. Of course, way in the future. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the earth, of the world, with fruit. Two kinds of fruit. Does anybody know what they are?
Good and bad.
Okay, good and bad. Not really. Two kinds of fruit. One is left hand and one is right hand. Both are good. This one is great. This one is greater. The left hand is great. It's all about temporal blessing. The right hand is greater. This one stops after a while, so it's temporal. He just quits. So that won't save you. This is the only one that'll save you. So this one is bad with respect to this one. But they're both good because God has to have order, government, you know, law, judgment. And I want to show you something, why it's good, why it isn't bad. It's good because here he says, I'm going to punish Satan and anybody that goes his way. And here he says, I'm going to bless those that follow Abraham by faith. So it's a good one. So this is the Jesus one over here, and this is everybody else, but it's good because it punishes you when you do bad, and that's very good. I think that's why I became a Christian. It's hard to tell. I know my story, but it's really hard to analyze it. But I believe I became terrorized after a while, not from losing, but from winning. In other words, getting away with murder all the time. And I knew, you know, someday you're going to get caught. And the joy went out of my lying, cheating, stealing, and all that stuff. And I did it all the way through seminary. I mean, I was already, you know, in God school, and I was still lying and cheating and stealing. But that didn't bother me. But all of a sudden, I was realizing, you know what? And this is because Kennedy, I think, was killed. When Kennedy was killed, that really bothered me. I remember walking out of the school, out on the lawn out there. It was winter time. I remember walking out there and thinking, huh, what? How did they kill a president? If that's true, they could kill me, just like that. You know, and I always knew that, but it kind of like hit home, is how can they kill a president? He has guards all over him and stuff like this. And how come they can't even figure out who did it? And maybe that guy that they shot, maybe he didn't do it. Maybe somebody else did it. And then that guy got shot. And, you know, so it's like, hey, this might be a cover-up kind of thing. It's like, whoa, that kind of like, you mean my own government is wicked and, you know, nasty and uh-oh. And so that kind of shook me, is I don't know what kind of world I'm living in, but I think it's more demonic than I've known. And I am in the middle of it. I am demonic. I know I am. It doesn't bother me at all. And it's like, I got to think this thing out. So it was shortly after that that God began to speak to me. And I'll tell you, I was worried. Vanity, this is the words that he said, literally. I was sitting right there, it came right through the window. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It was an out loud voice, but of course it wasn't a real voice, but I thought it was. It was like, everything about me is vain. Everything I do is nothing. Everything I do, I make up, I invent, I just create it. I better get right with God. I better know if there is a God. Either there isn't or there is. If there is, I better follow him or I'll finish. And if there isn't, I'm going to tell on the guy. That's it. That literally is what I decided, right then and there. I'm going to either, and it took me 7 years from that moment, 1964, I remember exactly when it was, 1964, from that moment, I decided, okay, I got to decide. Either there is a God, I'll hunt for him. Of course, I probably can't find him. He probably won't come around where I am. But I'm going to look anyway, because that's the only thing I can do. Otherwise, I just sit there and wait for him. He'll probably never come. I'll just head out. God, I don't think you're there, but in case you are, I'm going to go this direction. And if you want, I mean, if they, you got it written down in the book that you like me. Okay, well, then meet me over there in the corner, because here I'm going this way. And I hope you're there. If you're not, it's your fault. I gave you a warning. So sure enough, I got to the corner and I didn't see him. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to quit on this. And then I heard this voice say, don't quit. Just keep going. Well, I didn't know it was going to be 7 years. But 7 years later, boom, I met the living God. That's amazing. If I were God, I wouldn't have wasted my time. But I found out God was better than I was. Has anybody ever found that out? He loves sinners. He loves people like me, or jerks, liars, thieves. He loves us. That to me is good news. I just can't get over it. I never have gotten over it. How God could love me, someone like me. because I had no decency, no kindness, no warmth, no happiness, no nothing inside of me except to be God. This is all I want to do is be God. I just want to be God. Of course, I'm not. I never thought I was. I just wanted to pretend, see how long I can get away with it. Hath he smitten him, that is Jacob, in the same way that he smote those that smote him? In other words, God is saying, did I smite Jacob, my people, in the same way that I smote those that smote them? Egypt and Assyria, and pretty soon Babylon, then Persia, Greece, and Rome, and so on. And we're still to this day. Twenty after? Okay. Since I'm staying, you're staying. Don't go. Still have some more. I'm so glad we're staying. In other words, God is saying, I make a division between those that belong to me and those that don't. You know, for Egypt, I'll break Egypt. I want to tell you something, because Egypt's in the news right now. Egypt will be broken. Don't think of I've told you this before. Don't listen to the newspapers or to the television or whatever else. They say the Muslim Brotherhood is doing this and that. I tell you, it's not going to happen. Or it may happen, but it won't stay happened. God has promised, sworn, that there'll be a witness, a Christian witness, in Egypt and Libya and Sudan and blah, blah, blah. That's why I go there. In fact, Joel's going to be here in 3 weeks. I hope you get to hear him. But what's happened in Uganda is big. I don't know if you've seen movies and stuff, but there's a lot of movies out there right now of the kind of pillage and raping and killing and so on and so forth. Great stuff and accurate. I've been there, and in our orphanage, those were the kids. The orphanage, several hundred of them, those are the ones, the girls were raped, the boys had to kill their parents. And there's a lot of movies out now. You can get them. They're easy to get. But I'll tell you what, it'll break your heart when you see it. And it's real. But anyway, Joel is taking all of our books and our tapes and our teachings and so on and spreading them throughout Uganda. So there's 8 million Ugandans listening now to us. It's amazing. He has every tape, every book, every booklet, every video. He's got all of it on some little thumb drive. I don't even know how those things work. Whatever they are. He's got it on a little disc thing. And he's translating them one after another. He's already done one where he puts it into the Luganda language. And so now all the pastors and people can listen to it. And they're going to do all the works that they think are worthwhile. Just take them all. Very powerful. Now, in measure, when it shooteth forth, Jacob, you will debate with it. In other words, people will argue with it. But he stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. In other words, what God is saying is, even though people are going to fight against Israel and it'll look like she's going to lose, she actually won't. Verse 9. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away a sin. Do you know why trouble comes in this world? Do you know why there are troubles in your life? Physical troubles, financial troubles, relational troubles. Do you know why all those troubles have come? Because God is purging your sin.
Amen.
It's exciting. Yeah. He's not trying to destroy you. He's wanting to bless you. He just knows how stubborn you are, and he knows that if he says, please, it won't work. So he's using judgment of the left hand in order to give hope in the right hand. Judgment, then hope. Judgment, then hope. Now, when God is judging the world, they just get judged, period, no hope. But when he chastens you, instructs you, teaches you, because you've heard his word, the hope is right here to follow up. After the judgment always comes the hope. So he's saying, why do I love Israel so much that I would cause judgment after judgment after judgment after judgment? 7 times. That's because the father that loves his son chastens him. That's because I'm about to do a great blessing. Okay, I'm going to say it differently so that you get it. Whenever troubles come to you, that's because God loves you. I don't care what you think. You're wrong. That's God saying, turn to me. Don't turn to Egypt and Assyria and the world and the devil and so on. Turn to me. Come to me. God, what did I do? You were guilty. Okay. Oh, I see. So this is just to remove my sin. It's not to remove me. Right. Whoa. So this word of gospel, of truth, will set you free. When you're going through the troubles, don't worry about it. Just temporary. Come on, he can overthrow anything. I don't care how big your troubles are. He can overthrow it. Physical, financial, relational, economic. I don't care what it is. He can overthrow it. He's just using it. How many know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord?
Glory.
So you just keep loving the Lord. Just draw close to God. God, where are you? You don't have to qualify. You don't have to be good. God is good. You don't have to be good. You're not good. He doesn't want you to be good. He wants to be good for you, in you, through you. He wants to do it all. Now, how many know that God is good?
Amen.
He is so good. And he doesn't want you to have second best, third best, 18th best. He wants you to have the best. Not only in the world to come, now, today. But don't you figure out what good is. You don't know what good is? Don't eat of that tree. You don't know what good is. You don't know what evil is. God knows. Evil is Satan supplely trying to run your life. But good is God making it straight. Here's another thing in Scripture. He says, I will make the crooked straight. In other words, whatever Satan has made crooked, I'll make it straight. That's this hand. This is the hand that makes all the crooked straight. Make in the desert a highway, a straight path. Doesn't go off to the left or to the right. That is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is too powerful. I know you're probably not as excited as I am, but I'm excited. I love this. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. In other words, it has to come through this fire, sevenfold. And by the way, the last 3.5 years, which haven't come yet, is called the day of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble, look it up in the Bible. It's 3.5 years, exactly. It hadn't yet happened. It's the same time as the time of the Antichrist. When the Antichrist comes, that is the time of Jacob's trouble. It's against Israel, not against us. We only get involved because we love Israel. That's all. Because God said if you don't love them, you're going to be cursed. Who would want to love them? They're not lovable people. They aren't wonderful people. How many know that they're not wonderful people? They're liketh unto me. I don't have any naive view that there are people that are good and people that are bad. All people are exactly as I am. I'm sorry to say that. But everybody's devious like I am. Did you know that? Did you know you're as devious as I am? You're aware of that? That's powerful. That's a miracle, by the way. Bonnie, did you know you're as wicked as I am?
Absolutely.
That's good. I love it. I know Roxy is.
I am, yeah.
Okay. I love that. Will, I know. Will is. Kathy's okay. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Margaret, you are? Oh, good. This whole side's okay. Oh, she, yeah. Now, God is good. And what's he doing? What's he doing? He's judging over here so that he can give hope over here. Unless you're judged, you'll never be glorified. Unless you suffer with him, you'll never be glorified. Why is suffering good? Because it causes you to drive to Jesus. You go straight to Jesus because the devil is trying to keep you crooked, perverse, off. Which you would do naturally. Everybody's heart is exactly the same heart. Everybody. You were conceived in sin. It doesn't just come because you trained a little child. Here's how you lie. You don't have to train them. To exaggerate or to do whatever. Everybody's the same. But even though your heart is bad, your behavior could be good. That would fool God. It doesn't. Sees right through your fig leaves. Now, the best has been saved to the last. We live in the best times. This is it. When the fullest harvest, fuller than any other harvest for the last 2,000 years of the church, never has there been a day like today. You kind of wonder, why is God delaying? Not only is he not delaying, it's about to happen, I think even this year, in Dallas. Nowhere else. Right here. This is where it's going to start. Something's going to happen. I'm not orchestrating it. I'm not even sharing. I haven't even shared it with anybody. I'm just telling you, something's going to happen this fall. I think it's like September, October. I think it's more October than it is September, but I don't know. God didn't speak that to me. I just feel like it's coming. Something's going to happen. It's going to be in the churches. Somehow there's going to be some kind of a revival or something starting. I have nothing to do with. I'm not the center of it. I just can hear it, know it. And it's like, whoa, what's going to happen, God? He won't tell me. How many know God has little surprises? But everyone's going to be blessed by it. It's not just going to bless Christians. It's going to bless Jewish people, Muslim people, Hindu people, Buddhist people, witchcraft people, everybody. It will reach the nation and then the world from here, right here, Bible Belt, whatever. I'm excited about that. Now, let's say I'm wrong. Okay, don't stone me or anything. I'm just sharing with you. I don't care if I'm right or wrong. I don't care. I'm just wanting you don't delay not to get ready. I mean, just you know, even if I'm wrong and you get ready too early, it's okay. It won't hurt. So it wouldn't be bad if you got, you know, close to Jesus right now. So at least I'm not wrong on that. But I believe it's going to be so quick that you got to be ready now. You can't wait till the last minute. Just get, do it now. All right, I have to close. I guess, let's see, what am I doing here? Yeah, the rest of it's all in the Bible. The rest of it's all in the Bible.